You're listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. This podcast is modeled on the improv form La Ronde, so the guest of our last episode becomes the host of this episode, and today's guest will become the host of our next episode. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Welcome to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast from New York City. I'm Alex Song. I was the guest on the last New York episode. You guys had a couple LA episodes in between. But today I'm the host, and my guest today is Natasha Vainblatt, who fans of improv might know from what I did for Love, a weekend team at UCB East, previously on Herald Team's Surfing, Guthrie, and Namaste. Natasha was also an actor writer on Mod Night on three different teams, as well as the creator of her own long-running one-woman show, the United Federation of Teachers. Welcome, Natasha.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining me. How are you today?
Oh, man, I'm great. Just for the viewers, Alex and I just came from the same audition.
Oh, yes, we did.
And I think we both nailed it.
I think so. Yeah. I was very frazzled.
I always love it when they're like, hey, that was great, but for the next one, do it totally different.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well, that wasn't great. But
whatever. Yeah, I think I was already running late to this, and we did one take, and he was like, okay, that was great. And I was like packing up to go, and he was like, all right, we're just going to do one more time. So Natasha, I just found out that you were born in Russia.
It's true.
That's incredible. How long did you live there before you moved here?
My family and I moved when I was 7.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so then we moved right to Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then I grew up there.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That feels very, like, Richmond is like, there's like North and South Virginia, right?
Oh, yeah, and they're very different.
Right. So what do you identify as?
Coming from Richmond, Virginia, I have to hate Northern Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Where I treat them as not a part of Virginia. They're like they're like D.C.
Right.
Yeah, like outpost. They're not like real Virginians.
Oh, okay. And like the DMV area? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, or it's like what is it called? Fuck, I don't know. Can we curse on this? Yeah, right?
It's yeah. Cash. Yeah, totally.
Okay, well, balls. Yeah, I don't remember. Ugh, that's stupid, but
that's
it's
okay.
Something, whatever.
Okay, cool. So you grew up in Virginia.
I did.
Before you came to comedy, or concurrently, you were a high school teacher?
I was, yeah. So right out of college, got a job teaching in New York. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. I'll teach during the day, take improv classes at night, because I did improv in college, and I knew.
Oh, wow. Okay.
When I was doing improv in college, I was certain I was going to move to Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And then we did a festival now called, I think, DSI. Or no, now it's called the North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival.
Oh, yes. It used to be the Dirty South Improv Festival. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
So my college team, we went to the Dirty South Improv Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Death by Ruru there.
Oh, wow.
And it blew my mind. And I remember turning to, I think, Sashir. We were on the college team together. Sashir Zameda of SNL.
Oh, so you went to UVA then?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I remember turning to her and just like yelling that I like had to go wherever they were going. And so we both, she moved a year ahead of me, but we both ended up in New York because of them.
That's great. There's like a bunch of UVA people at UCB,
tons.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think most of us, besides Sashir and I, none of us knew each other in college.
Uh-huh.
Well, Sam Taggart does stuff at the UCB as well.
Right.
But yeah, we just all kind of like at Abra, Tayback, Winston Knoll, Phil Jackson.
Wow, what a crew.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys, you and Sashir were both on the improv team there.
We formed our team. So I did improv in high school. I did comedy sports.
Whoa, okay, it goes way back.
Oh, way back.
Wow.
So I did, where I actually met my husband.
Wow.
Isn't
okay.
that crazy?
Yeah. So you guys were high school sweethearts
yes.
on the high school improv team together.
That's true.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So I knew I wanted to do improv in college. Mm-hmm. And so when I got to UVA, I was like, well, the thing I'm doing for sure is auditioning for the Weathermen, which was like the team, the mm-hmm. one improv team.
Okay,
there.
Sure.
And I don't remember Sashir from the audition, but she remembers me, which is like, okay, well, I guess that was a humble brag.
That's a great brag.
Thank you. Yeah, I wasn't humble yeah. about it at all. I was great. but they never took me. And I auditioned like 3 times, and every time I would just get shot down. And so Sashir, being like the way ballsier of the two of us, was like, mm-hmm. let's just make our own team.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So we created our own team, Amuse Bouche, which is still there, which
oh,
is so
that's
exciting.
Awesome.
But we, like the two of us and our friend Tanya, were like the founding mm-hmm. members of it.
Oh, that's great. That's yeah. also a great team name.
Yeah, it was the word of the day when we, when we like sent
like
our
in a
like,
calendar.
Yeah.
That's great.
Charter to the... whatever, uh-huh. like the student union.
Right,
was,
yeah.
Even Amuse Bouche was like pretty weird and hard to say. But we were like, oh, you know, it's like, it translates to like an excitement of the mouth, which mm-hmm. is laughter. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
It was so stupid. But before that, it was going to be Hooked on Funnies.
Oh, okay. I think you guys went in the right direction.
I think so. Especially because like at UVA, you're like a who that's kind of like... the quote, like unofficial mascot uh-huh. or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was going to be spelled
like
you know, with the
hooked on.
Yeah, it was.
That's great.
Or I think the other option was Shamu doesn't wear any sneakers. And we ended up with Amuse Bouche.
Man. Okay. Well, I think I might like Shamu a little bit better.
I did too, because it could have been shortened to just Shamu. But you know, you got to yeah. like. You know, let go and let God, as
right.
they
yeah,
say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, like, what are the are they called? The Weathermen doing now?
The weather. They're all pretty successful.
Okay, great. I'm glad everybody's successful.
But actually, most of them, I think, ended up in Chicago. I still, like, randomly see a few of them, like, you know, mm-hmm. for, like, DCM or
oh, cool.
we'll cross paths sometimes.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing well.
So for comedy sports, then, that was mm-hmm. short form.
Yeah, all short form.
Did you transition into long form when you founded Amuse Bouche?
Yeah, that was like because we wanted to set ourselves apart from the Weathermen in some way.
Uh-huh.
So that was, we were like, we'll try to do long form stuff.
Oh, cool.
So we did a little bit of short form.
Uh-huh.
And then so we would do like the first half of our show would be short form.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half we would try to do like a 30-minute piece, which was.
Oh, cool.
I wonder seeing it now what I would think.
Mm-hmm.
But in college, I was like, we're doing groundbreaking stuff.
Yeah.
We're expanding people's minds.
Did you guys, like, teach yourselves?
We did. So the way we did it is we would have it was so interesting because we were just, yeah, like, we were starting from nothing. So we had no idea, especially because actually one of our members had been in the Weathermen. So he was kind of like, this is the way it runs. But we were also, like, very adamant about doing our own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we did it was we had someone from the team direct us, but they would sit out for that semester.
Oh,
that's
okay.
kind of like what we landed on.
That's really cool.
So they could watch the show.
Yeah.
And it's much easier getting notes from somebody who's not then also doing it with
right.
you.
Right, yeah. Because yeah. I also came from, like, college improv.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
Hammer
very...
Cats? Oh, no, that's sketch, right?
Yes, I was also on Hammer Cats. Was the sketch team. And then Danger Box was the,
mm-hmm.
the NYU improv team.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like it's a very college thing to have to just, like, coach and direct yourselves, right?
Yeah.
And then Hammer Cats would have, like... well, I guess both would, like, the people directing or coaching would still be a part of the group, so
mm-hmm.
it'd be a little weird that way, but I think, I don't know, it's just something you, like, figure out as you
yeah.
go.
I remember one of, like, this was our senior year, so we
mm-hmm.
had done the team for 3 years now, and so we were getting, like, really loopy about directing each other, and my favorite, Kai was my favorite director. He was kind of, like, our final one, and there was one practice where he had us make masks.
Oh, wow.
We just, like, he got paper mache, and, like, this just sounds so much
oh,
like
not
college.
Not even just, like, construction paper,
no, dude,
but, like,
it was like,
paper mache.
Yeah, like, clay, like, mixed with water,
wow.
and we made these masks, and we painted them, and then we did improv scenes with these masks.
Wow.
We also smoked a lot of weed all the time.
Oh, that's great.
But it was, yeah, it was so funny.
That's awesome. Do you still have pictures from the masks?
I don't know. I mean, they're burned into my brain, but... Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
That's great. I hope one day we'll just be able to see it from there.
That actually is like a great DCM bit. improv, like with masks. Commedia dell'arte improv yeah. or something with masks.
That would be great.
Yeah, it's too late.
Too late now.
Next year.
Yeah. Save for, what is it, DCM 19 next year?
Yeah. Or maybe like, I'll do it DCM 37.
yeah, DCM 37. Watch out for it at DCM 37. great. So you moved right after college to New York City.
I did, yeah.
Started teaching. Did you start taking UCB classes right away?
So it took me about like a semester. So I moved in 2009 and I mm-hmm. didn't start taking classes until 2010.
Okay.
But I had taken an intensive during a summer when I was in college.
Because mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah, I was interning in the city mm-hmm. and I managed to get like a 101 intensive.
Oh, nice. Where mm-hmm. were you interning?
I was interning at The Onion.
Ooh, you got funny in your bones.
Yeah, man. I did a lot of transcribing.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. I'm very bad at transcribing.
Yeah, I am too. I would like, so I would type very fast to get all the notes, but then I have to spend hours reading through it because it was just all littered with typos.
Oh, okay.
So I could never send yeah. it right away.
I was the opposite. I like couldn't stand typos, so I would like pause every 10 seconds, slowly type.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. So you took 101, then you jumped into 201
yeah, in 2010. So it was like cool. probably a year. Yeah, it was like a year after. Mm-hmm. And then, I took 201, and then I just kind of kept going.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Now, did you go through the whole, like, Lloyd system, or were you straight to Harold?
No, I was on the first season of Lloyd, and I was the first person from Lloyd to go to Harold.
Whoa. How did that feel?
Great. It was great. I also, though, I was on Graceland, like the original
Graceland.
Concoction of Graceland, and it was such a good team. I mean, everyone on that team is, you know, still right. doing improv
Graceland,
and killing it.
Great Lloyd team that uh-huh. became a Harold team.
Yeah.
And then also a lot of great people that came through.
Totally.
Yeah.
So it was kind of hard to leave them. I remember asking Nate, I was like, thank you. I just need a day to, like, think about
it. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when you get that phone call, it's such an immediate, like, yes, of course, I'll do anything.
Yeah, I just really, it was my first team, too, so I feel like your first is, like, you know, with first loves, it's just, like,
totally
extra special.
Yeah, I'm feeling that a little bit right now with shakeups, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were moved from Graceland onto surfing.
Mm-hmm. And I was on surfing, I don't think for a full season because shakeups happened maybe like after I was on the team for like 4 months or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I got put on Guthrie with a lot of Graceland people. So it was a nice kind of like reunion.
I got to say, I was a huge fan of Guthrie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved Guthrie.
You.
Loved you guys. You guys hosted the improv jam for
we
a little
did.
Bit. Yeah.
God, that was a crazy time for me because I was still a high school teacher while we were hosting the jam.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's insane.
Yeah. So my my Thursday and Friday were pretty brutal because Wednesday night, I mean, the jam would go until, what, like 2 a.m. or something?
Yeah, the jam. So the jam starts at UCB East at 11:15 p.m.
Yeah.
And it goes till very late.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to go home from there.
Yeah. And then I would, like, get up at 6 a.m.
Wow.
And go teach a bunch of crazy high schoolers.
Right, because high school kids have to go to school at, what, like 7:30 in the morning?
Yeah, or, like, I think we started at 8:15, but I, like, needed to, like, get there to, like, write on the chalkboard and stuff.
Oh, my God. Yeah, get ready. A little peek behind the scenes of being a teacher.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of chalkboard work.
How did you manage to balance, like, having such late nights and, like...
It was okay for a little while. I mean, I was also, like, pretty... I mean, I'm still young, but it was, like, in my early 20s, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, you have an endurance, you know, still then. But I remember once I got on... Mod night, that's kind of what broke me.
Oh, okay.
Because those tech rehearsals go to like 2:30 or
something. Because the tech rehearsals start after the last show ends at UCB Chelsea.
Yeah, so it's like you're starting at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of our before we had the rule at the training center of like you can't rehearse past midnight most nights or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We would start at like 10 p.m.
Yeah, same. Yeah, my first mod team was all lock in like 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
So I was just.
Wow.
I was, at that point I was like, I can't do both anymore.
Right.
So that was a nice moment for me though to be like, okay, well now you have to like. Decide, are you going to pursue this thing that you moved to New York to pursue, or are you going to keep teaching, which I also liked.
Right.
But
that's a big moment, though.
It's a big moment.
Yeah, I feel like all our friends, whenever they like quit their day job, is a big like congrats.
Totally.
Moment. Yeah. So you got on, were you on Herald and then you got on Maude?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I got, I think I must have been on Guthrie at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or Namaste. I think, I was on Guthrie when I got on Maude.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, so shortly after Maude, you made the jump to...
Yeah, it was like February of that school year. I remember like going to my principal and being like, I'm not coming back.
Oh, man.
And he was great.
Yeah.
And I think also it helped that I told him, because usually sometimes if like teachers aren't sure if they're going to come back, they'll like wait until August.
Oh, wow. Which then, like right before the school year starts.
Yeah. And then it's like you have to be really like frantically hiring teachers. Mm-hmm. So it's just super stressful. So, and I love that school. So I was like, I'm going to do this kind of like, even though I'm leaving, I'll try to do it the best way possible.
Oh, that's great. And you gave them like a ton of notice.
And I helped like interview people who are going to take my job.
Oh, wow. You're just a dream.
I'm just like the best person in the world.
Yeah.
I'm doing a lot of bragging.
Natasha, first person move from Lloyd to Herald. Sashir remembers her from an audition, but not the other way around. And also the best person in the world. Then was it after that that you like compiled all those experiences into your one woman show? Or
yes,
yeah, okay.
So as soon as I quit teaching, I had so much more time on my hands. So I was like, now I'm gonna focus a lot more on writing, because I think also, and this is just kind of what I say a lot, I think if you're interested in a career in comedy, you have to write.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think improv is wonderful and like is so good for networking, for finding people that you love, and just like for building those skills. But professionally, you need to have samples to show people.
Right. You can't show anyone. Like, you can invite someone to an improv show, but even then it's like, well, what else can you do? What else do you
it's
have?
It's like, great, I love doing that. Now show me something else.
Right.
So now that I had the time, I was like, I'm going to now focus on, making sure that I have like a skill as a sketch writer too.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about like, well, what's something that I know a lot about, and it was kind of cathartic too to like think about that experience through a comedic lens, because it was great, but it was also so fucking hard.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Yeah. So it was just you in a series of like monologue sketches.
Yeah. So it was all me doing characters inspired by like teachers I had met, and then in between the interstitials were videos where I would tell real stories.
Oh, cool.
Of
that's
what
awesome.
Like just silly fun or crazy stories of what happened when I was in the classroom.
Yeah. So were you, did you like go through the sketch classes at UCB as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, did that whole thing.
Cool. And then so you went from, you were just an actor initially on Maude?
Yeah. And while I was an actor, I started taking sketch classes.
Oh, okay.
And
that's cool.
And then I think what happened was a writer on Absolutely, my second team, left. And so I submitted a packet with everyone that was being considered.
Yeah. And then you became an actor writer.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah. I think by the time you're on Nipsey, you were the only actor writer on Maude, I think.
Yeah. Oh, boom. Add that to
another thing.
A little feather in my cap.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was the only one. Are there any at the moment?
I don't believe so.
Wow. It died.
But I don't want to be wrong about it. Yeah. Wow, a lot of titles you hold.
Yeah, that's all I do. I walk around with all these titles.
Because there were like a bunch of actor writers. Not a bunch, but like
there
maybe like
I remember
like
Allison
four-ish.
Rich was one.
Yeah, a lot of great ones. Was Tim Martin one?
I don't know.
Drew Johnston was one, I think.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Sashir.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Sashir's an actor writer. Siobhan Thompson.
Siobhan, yes. Was Andrew Law?
Yes, he was.
A lot of great people who've moved on to great things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think UCB started moving more towards like focusing on character stuff, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We started offering a characters 101 class here, which you also teach.
Which I teach, yeah.
Yeah, you're a teacher of all three disciplines.
You got it.
Do you find that your work in one of those, like improv, sketch, or characters, influences the other?
Yeah, I think so. Because the two, I mean, because the school's focus is on game, mm-hmm. I mean, that, you know, you use and you work on in each of the classes. And so I find myself a lot of times in sketch, especially when I have students who have done improv, mm-hmm. being like, this, you know, is like an improv scene. It's like, if we were in an improv scene, how would we heighten this? So mm-hmm. I use a lot of the same language.
Right.
Because, it's so fluid, I guess is the right word.
Yeah, okay.
Very easily. Like, I don't think you can do yourself a disservice of taking both. You
right,
know?
Completely.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Help. So you don't necessarily see there being, like, a huge distinction.
I mean, the only difference, right, is, like, sketches written down.
Yeah.
And granted, sometimes I feel like an improv scene will work and be very funny. But when you write it, it's like it falls flat.
Yeah, totally.
There just needs, like, now that you've written it, you need to have more time to explore stuff to heighten in a really
right.
strategic
yeah.
way. But
there wasn't, like, the magic of discovery
yeah.
in an improv scene.
Yeah,
totally. I have felt that of, like, there's almost, this is maybe not the right phrasing, but, like, a higher standard of, like, a uniqueness of a premise for a sketch, maybe.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, because an improv scene, like, you know, like.
So the magic is, like, how are these two people going to get on the same page and figure it out
right.
together?
Right, yeah.
Where with sketches, like, you had a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
so
this is what you think is a good use of our time?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The audience is definitely more judgmental.
Uh-huh. Alex is looking at her book of questions.
I have a book of questions I wanted to ask. You're also on a digital team right now?
Yes.
Three-thirds, and you mm-hmm. used to be on Goldwater?
Correct.
What has your experience on that been like?
Oh, man, so fun. So the first season, we just did short films, which was very cool.
Oh, cool.
So each of the writers got to write at least one short film.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, the actors were cast in it accordingly. And it was really fun getting to do just something so much longer. You know, a sketch is great, but usually it's done mm-hmm. in 5 pages.
Right.
And this was a new skill of working to write a story. You know, mm-hmm. that could sustain itself for, like, 10 pages.
Yeah.
So that was very cool.
And that is cool.
And now I'm on Three-Thirds, and mm-hmm. we're all together writing a long narrative series. So it'll
oh,
be a bunch
wow.
of episodes, like a web series, but
yeah.
a narrative arc through the whole thing.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And with, like, both of those, were you guys, like, focused still on, like, making it funny or, like...
Less, you know
yeah.
what I mean? I think it's more of, like, can we just make it really interesting and engaging?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how sketch is significantly different from narrative writing,
mm-hmm.
you know, but there are certainly tools that you still use. Like, you're going to, joke writing is useful for whatever
right,
you
totally.
Do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think joke writing comes second to a well-structured story.
Right, which is, that's the thing that we don't focus on mm-hmm. at UCB, which is, like, plot and story.
Right. Yeah, it's like that, because that's not the thing you need. A sketch is, you know,
right.
a joke told, or, like, a funny concept explored for 5 pages.
Right.
So you don't
yeah.
need, if anything, the plot kind of, like, slows it
hinders
down.
Hinders it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the reverse.
That's cool. Well, with your, like, hands in so many different, like, mm-hmm. things, is there... like, one overarching thing that you find yourself drawn to or, like a type of...
yeah, I really like writing and playing delusional women.
Oh, that's great.
Anyone who's just a little, like, unbalanced or off-kilter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll see what happens. But I have, like, an idea that I'm trying to put together of, like... called Women on the Edge, and it's
mm-hmm. oh,
not
man.
A solo show, but a sketch show, but all the characters or the focus of every sketch is some woman somehow, like, off her rocker
uh-huh.
in a different way.
Oh, that's great.
And I've just been researching a bunch of, like, women through history who've gone bananas.
Yeah.
You know, like Nancy Kerrigan
uh-huh,
and,
uh-huh.
oh my gosh, who's the lady? I can't believe I'm blanking on her. You know, the ice skater.
Oh,
who,
Tonya Harding.
Thank you.
Yeah.
yeah, like, all those. And it's just... I love women who are dangerous.
Right, yeah.
Because they're mentally unstable.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. I love the word unhinged
yeah.
to describe them. Yeah. That's super cool. I had another question written down. I can't remember. Oh, yeah. So you just recently had a show called Out Sick, right?
Oh, yeah.
So would it tie into that at all, of like a variety show hosted by characters?
Yeah, that is more me trying to kind of like play with format. So I think, I think it's really interesting to mix characters with sketch and storytelling. Because I think one, seeing just characters or just stand up for an hour, for me personally, it's not as exciting. It just gets, it just feels repetitive.
Right.
Even if
like
the
we've seen
really
this
different.
Character already. Yeah.
Yeah. Or just, I don't know. So there's something that's really interesting to me about like normally it's a, I like the idea of, I always love the idea of like flipping a format or doing something in reverse. So that's why instead, normally a show is hosted by a straight man, right? Or like a stand up and then it's characters. And so I like the idea of like, what if we did the reverse? And so
oh,
the show
cool.
is hosted by characters and people who are Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
And then the acts themselves are still like straight stand up or still storytelling.
Oh, that's super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I
I'm
like
just kind of playing around with it. And my favorite, also my favorite thing to do is I guess it's like a blending of characters and improv. I love improvising as a character. And so what I did for that show is I invited people to be guest bits with me. But so I was like, we are good. This is the definition of our character. So like Becky Chacoine and I were child.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah, God, she's the best.
Yeah.
We were child magicians who always performed with our mother, but our mother like was also like unable to come to the show.
Okay.
So we got an audience member to play our mother. So we knew the structure of the beats. It's like, we know we're going to do this trick and this trick and this trick.
Right.
But how it's going to play out is totally up to us. And we just improvise as characters.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
It's so fun for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
And, yeah. What doing audience stuff, I think, is... I just feel like that's kind of like at the heart of, to me, what's most entertaining is choosing a character, then improvising in that character who interacts with the audience. But that's like, if I had to do one thing
like
in heaven,
it,
it would be that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
That's great.
And ideally, the character is an unhinged woman.
That would be the perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So I've taken characters one-on-one here. Is the curriculum here more like geared towards like you like write everything? Like if you develop a character, you basically have a script that you go off of, right?
Yeah. It's like so we all. What's kind of nice is we have a curriculum for the characters classes, but because it's still pretty new, the teachers have a lot of flexibility with what exercises they choose and how.
Oh, super cool.
So the way I structure it is for the kind of like the first half of the class or like each class, the first half of class, we bring in written monologues. And then the second half of the class, we do some sort of improv exercise to either extend the character that we brought in or to just come up with a brand new character. So it's a bit of like a, it's a bit of a hybrid because I found that the hardest parts for students, especially in writing classes, when you're starting out is knowing how to start. I remember I had that question too of, like, but how do you come up with your ideas?
Right, like idea generating
nobody,
is a huge thing.
And nobody teaches you that. The assumption is like, well, you just do it.
Yeah, you just are funny, you have these ideas.
Exactly, which is not true. And I, although I will say after a while, it does start to happen.
Sure.
Like now I have a notebook and I just, or I use Evernote on my phone.
Oh,
plug, plug, plug.
Yeah, I tried Evernote. I went back to just iPhone notes.
See, I used to use iPhone notes, but then I would magically like delete stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't trust the cloud really with like where all my notes went.
You gotta trust that cloud.
But Evernote, like I can't access them if I'm not on the internet sometimes. I don't know. I just gotta learn how to use it better.
Okay. All right. Well, this show is not sponsored by Evernote, so we can say how we honestly feel about it. But, right. So so I do that now, and it comes much more easily. But when I was starting out, I had no idea.
Right.
So what I try to do in Characters 101 is spend time also each week giving like a new way to come up with writing a character.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like this one I kind of stole from, I think I stole this from Frank Hale. He goes, he was saying that he has his students just go through, like scroll through Twitter.
Oh,
and just
yeah.
pick like any kind of tweet or like a Facebook post that stands out to them and then remove any like plot or specifics from the character and use it just as a standalone, like who would be a kind of person who would have this point of view.
Yeah, that's really cool. Like very rooted in like a strong point of view.
Yeah. And then another one I took from Joanna Bradley was later in the class, she has every, which I think she...
Yeah, she's who I took characters
with. Maybe she had you do this with.
Maybe.
Did she have you partner up and you sent a picture to your partner of a character that they would never play?
Oh,
or you
wow.
Didn't?
No, I didn't get to do that.
Best.
That sounds so fun.
It's really fun. Yeah, so it's like, so, you know, for 7 weeks, I've seen you do these kinds of characters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I'm going to send Alex a photo of, you know, like a Disney princess.
Never. No
yeah.
way.
No. And you'd be offended for a day.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
And then you'd
ultimately.
Still, you'd be like, well, this is a challenge.
Yeah.
And I find that students really thrive. For
that's
that
really
class,
cool.
Because it's so freeing. Because it's like, oh, yeah, I've never written something like this before.
Yeah.
Let me give it a try.
And then they do well in it. That's mm-hmm. really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you find that you do that, too, with, like, sketch, just, like, going from a basis of improv and, like, just as a way to, like, explore?
Yeah. You know what I think, if anything, what yeah. I really go from a basis is of is having taught, like, high school.
Oh, yeah. How does that influence, like, your role as a teacher here now?
More than I expected.
Uh-huh.
And I think because a lot of, I guess because even though I taught, like, high school English, the basics of how you teach is the same. So,
mm-hmm.
or I've just gotten very good, well, I shouldn't even, I think I'm much better now than I was at noticing, like, what specific students don't get.
Oh,
I feel like
interesting.
That
yeah.
was something we really focused a lot on when I was teaching in high school of like, you have a group of 30 students. They're
mm-hmm.
not all at the same level. So
right.
how do you figure out how to explain something to someone in a different way? Because
yeah.
not everyone's going to understand the way you
totally.
Told it the first time.
Yeah.
So I try to do that with like game a lot. I feel
mm-hmm.
like there's so many different ways to explain it because
oh, yeah.
just saying it's the unusual thing,
it, yeah.
that's not going to hit for
right.
everybody.
Yeah. I feel like... like, game, now I feel like I can do it, but I
mm-hmm.
still can't really explain it. But I
yeah.
remember in 201, it like, 8 weeks, I was still like, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
really tough. And I think
yeah.
you have to, each week, just explain it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, one of those examples will resonate.
Yeah. How do you feel about that? What you said reminds me of, like, I feel like, I guess especially in 401, and even before that, students are so, like, obsessed with, like, oh, I really want personal notes.
Yeah.
Like, do you find those to be beneficial or do you, like, tend to give your students personal notes or just focus on, like as a group, what would help maybe individual
yeah.
students but, like, not targeting one?
I remember when I was a student, I was
uh-huh.
so desperate for personal notes.
Yeah, yeah.
Wanting them so badly. But I think if I... I'm really honest with myself. What I wanted to hear was, you're doing a good job.
Yeah, I think that's it, right?
You know?
Yeah.
And I think, ooh, I just hit the table. And I think if I think you have to have so many, like, reps and years in before I think mm-hmm. personal notes are really beneficial because you don't have habits yet.
Right.
Like
yeah.
by 301, you don't have tendencies you fall into because you've only done a group game 4 times.
Right. Yeah.
So if there is something that someone is doing consistently, even in
mm-hmm.
101, I'll be like, you're still always initiating with a question. You got to break yourself out of that
right.
habit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I.
But not quite the same as like, oh, you're always
playing this kind of
playing,
character.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't feel like people get set in their ways until they're like, into advanced study,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm, cool. Very, like, malleable young improv
yeah.
minds.
I mean, every scene is so different, you
mm-hmm.
know? And I think there is something to being like, you know what, I'm going to push myself today, and I feel like I always initiate with premise. This time I'm just going to start organic.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something to that. But I don't know if necessarily personal notes are really useful when you're just starting out.
Right, yeah. That's cool.
And I think they get you in your head a lot more.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
You know? And it's
yeah,
just
yeah.
like, it should, even though it's so hard, you know, because we do, you know, focus a lot on getting game right, which I think
mm-hmm.
is the best way to teach someone. It does have a tendency to make people feel way more in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I think it's a constant balance of being like, pointing out what works in a scene and what doesn't,
mm-hmm.
and still encouraging someone to follow their instincts and not.
Right.
Worry about that stuff,
yeah.
you know?
So would you think of yourself as, like, a big, like, game teacher or, like, a big, like, I guess you are a character teacher.
I am a character
yeah.
teacher, but I am a big game teacher.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
cool, yeah.
I focus a ton on game, and I love it. For me, I also, I think I'm like a, I don't know if type A is right, but I really thrive in structure.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And so I love organization, and game mm-hmm. is such a clear way for me to be like, oh, this is the way we play this scene.
Right. This makes sense.
I think it's more beneficial than being like, you know, just follow, like, do whatever you want, and I'll just point out, like, what worked in this specific scene.
Yeah.
At least game is a tool that you can apply to every scene.
Yeah, completely. So going back to, like, writing, like, longer narrative things, mm-hmm. like, is game still a thing you can use there, or is it just kind of...
Game is a thing I use, especially, so I've been working a lot on writing pilot treatments, you know, so it's
cool.
You do that. Oh, my headphones are doing something crazy.
Yeah, my headphones feel weird.
Ben? Should we just keep going? Or, I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I like wasn't good at keeping track of time. Have we been like about a half hour right now?
Whoa.
Okay, cool.
Time flies. So right now I've been focused a lot on writing pilot treatments. Mm-hmm. You know, so you do like, this is what the series is about. And then you get to the characters. And I use it a ton there. So I give every character a game in the character description.
Right. Like that's what you were talking about earlier with mm-hmm. like having characters who like have their game within the bigger like story structure.
Yeah.
Since the dawn of time, man has competed and relaxed. This is UCB Sports and Leisure.
Hey, I'm Matt Walsh.
I'm Scott Armstrong.
Mr. Trump,
believe me, if I were not her father, I would have sex with my daughter.
Cardinal Bianchi, could you ask the Pope what brings him to Los Angeles?
Miguel y Molly.
Oh, Miguel. Can I see Mike and Molly?
See.
Oh, you're going to see a taping of Mike and Molly?
Mike y Molly.
Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, where comedians talk about their love for professional wrestling. Best match of the night, The Rock versus The Sheep, Eric Rowan.
It was a complete WrestleMania record. I describe his hair as bandana. So he's not a bald man. He's a bandana.
Sorry.
Man. Yeah. So get it straight.
This podcast will now be part of the UCB Comedy Podcast Network, which means more mics for guests, higher production value. The possibilities are endless.
Two new comedy podcasts. The UCB Sports and Leisure Podcast with Matt Walsh and Scott Armstrong launching May 9th. And The Comedians of Wrestling with Dan Black, May 11th. Subscribe on iTunes.com/UCB Comedy.
Cool. Okay. So you've been writing a lot of pilot treatments.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything coming up that you're like really excited about working on? Anything new?
I'm working on another one-person show right now.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. so cool.
So it's slowly coming together. Mm-hmm.
How long did the first one take you?
It took me about a year.
Wow. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's what I seem to hear. I've never put up a spank or mm-hmm. a show before.
Yeah.
It seems like a long process.
Yeah, it takes a while because not only do you have to have strong sketches, but then you need to think of a framework, and then there's a constant like give and take of like, well, does this sketch fit the framework? And
mm-hmm.
what are the... I think it's really important for shows to have strong interstitials.
Mm-hmm.
And so I spend a lot of time thinking about that too. Like,
oh,
I don't like just lights up, lights down mm-hmm. for like a fully realized show. I mm-hmm. loved that for Maude.
Mm-hmm.
So for a sketch show, so I try to think about that a lot, which unfortunately takes a lot of time.
Yeah. Do you usually do like video interstitials?
Yeah. So for the teacher show, I did video interstitials, and I think I'm actually going to end up doing video interstitials for this next show too. But for when I was on Bullshit Women, which was...
Oh yeah, Bullshit Women, a great sketch group.
Yeah,
who's on that?
Ashley Brooke Roberts, Madeline Baldanzi, Caroline Hobald, and Sarah Tolomash.
Wow, great women.
All-star cast. So we were all in Absolutely together, which mm-hmm. was my second mod team.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found that while on Absolutely, a lot of us kind of wrote... not necessarily the same kind of sketches, but all had a point of view that they took about, like, feminism in some way or being a woman or
mm-hmm.
kind of, like, gendered norms.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were like, you know what? We have a lot of these sketches that did really well. Let's try to figure out a show around them. So for our interstitials, which I love and I feel like some of them are my favorite parts of the show, we have video interstitials, but they're all different. And each one is... almost kind of like a game it plays with the audience.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that going back to like audience interaction and all that stuff. How do you accomplish that with like a video though?
Oh, so it's more, it was like there'd be games. So there's one match the vagina to the bullshit women.
Oh, that's great.
So we have pictures of us and then we have pictures of very graphic vaginas.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And so the audience, I mean, you don't, like, you just think about it as the audience member. You don't go up there and like put the two photos together. But it like elicits a pretty good response.
Sure. Oh, man, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
So as a teacher then, do you have any kind of like favorite exercises you have?
Yes, I do. This is actually one, that I took from Christine Bullen, who is now in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So what she does for her character classes, she'll have everybody write down the name of a real person that they know, but just kind of like a name that stuck out to them for whatever reason. The name was funny or the person like means a lot to them or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody writes down three different names on a piece of paper. We throw them in a bowl. Mm-hmm. And then one at a time you come up and you pull three names.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just give a one line of improvisation as that name.
Oh, cool.
And then we decide on from the three that you did, like, we're going to stick with this one. And now let's do a quick interview of you as this character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really fun.
I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It reminds me of, like, Frank Garcia Hale also has an exercise of, like, writing a real belief that you have.
Yes.
And then putting it into a hat. And then you draw someone else's belief.
Mm-hmm.
Give a monologue from that. That's a super fun one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any, like, improv-specific, like, not focused on developing a character or, like, writing a sketch?
That I really like?
Yeah.
Let me think. Oh, this is more because I feel like it helps build group dynamic, but I love to do the a callback city, which is an exercise where at the end of class you just say like, "Cool, we can call back anything that's happened in class. We're just gonna do a bunch of seams, call back anything that's happened in class so far, or anything that's happened since our first session of class."
Oh wow!
And it's really good.
That's cool.
It's really great because it helps students be like, oh, yeah, I was in this funny scene and people liked it. And
yeah, yeah.
It's just very fun for them and always fun for me to watch when they're having a good time.
Yeah, it's super cool. Well, so you have been a teacher for a long time in many capacities.
Yeah.
What were you like as a student of improv?
What was I like as a student? I remember it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to answer that
question. Were you very much, like, in the community, like, going to Herald Night every week or, like...
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, I was still teaching at the time, so I didn't see as many shows as I would like to. So I wasn't, like, a big Herald head. Yeah, I mean, I was on so many different. I remember by 401, I was on like six different indie teams.
Oh wow! Yeah, one of those like everybody wants you on their team.
Oh man, there I go bragging again. So I was just doing a lot of that, which was so fun, but a little much, I think.
Yeah, that's so much. I still can't wrap my head around like how you did everything all at once.
You know what I think? I keep hitting this table. I think. When I say this all the time, of like, if you really want to do something, you'll make time for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I really wanted to do it, so I made time for it.
Yeah, that's great.
That's how you know. That's how you know.
What was your transition like from like leaving your teaching job to doing comedy?
I tutored for a little bit in between. You know, gotta use those teacher skills.
Yeah.
And then slowly but surely, I started kind of subbing at the theater. And then, so now I teach, and I teach enough with, like, you know, coach gigs here and there that I can support myself.
Yeah. Were you an improv teacher first?
Yes.
And then sketch and then characters?
Yes. Improv was my first love, first improv. Mm-hmm. And then I taught characters and then I taught sketch, which actually follows the trajectory of, like, how I was a student,
too.
Oh,
yeah.
That's interesting.
That's very cool. I feel like maybe this is not a great question to ask, but do you have a preference between any of them?
No.
Either teaching or doing?
You know what I do? My preference is I'm so glad I get to teach all three.
Yeah, that's
great. So I don't ever get burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
you know. So it's, ugh, it's the best.
Do you have any classes that are, like, back-to-back but, like, different?
Yeah. Yeah, I do on Tuesdays at the moment. I teach improv and then I teach sketch, which is great. I used to do two improv classes in a row. So originally I taught two 101s back-to-back because when you're a high school teacher, that's you all day you teach the same class. So it's the same material. It's usually, you know, four times a day. So I was like, that makes the most sense. And it is really hard on the brain.
Yeah, that seems hard.
Yeah.
I remember always, like, joking that, like, teachers in school would use the same jokes over and over.
I'm pretty sure I did.
I don't know what else you could do if you're, like, teaching the same thing over and over.
Well, it was really nice. If anything, it's, like, the third class kind of got, like, the best, you know, of the classes, because it's like at that point I'd figured out like how to most clearly explain something.
Right. Yeah.
And then by the fourth class, it was way too loose.
Yeah.
My fourth class was always my reality because I was like, we all want to go home.
Right? Yeah. wait, I had a question on the tip of my tongue.
I saw it fell off.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, would you have any interest in teaching an ASP, an advanced study performance class?
Oh, totally.
And if so, what would the theme or what would that class
be? I think maybe I've already pitched this to Kevin. I'm not sure. You know that, well, they, or yes, I think they've done this before. But you know that movie Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow?
I've never seen it.
You know, I don't even know if I have either, but you get it. It's like, what would happen if you got on this train instead of this train?
Yeah, okay. I've read the, like, description for it. It's on Netflix or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Don't waste your time watching it.
Yeah, I already read about it.
So I think it would be funny fun to do that as a form of, like, so we start. So it's like we start with a source scene, and then depending on where whoever, like, our Gwyneth goes, we follow that, you know, for, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And just do, like, one scene leads to the next scene, and then we go back to the source scene, and then we have our Gwyneth take a different route and then see what happens to her life.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. So that, like, similar to Nicole Jespel's breakup ASP recently, also kind of just, like, focuses on, like, one performer predominantly. I guess also, like, the improvised play a little bit also has, like, were you also a part of
I wasn't
that
part?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, also has, like, a main character of sorts.
Well, for this one, it would just, I guess the way I envisioned it is it would start, so I guess whoever that character, whoever the Gwyneth would lead that next scene, but after that, it doesn't have to stay on her. It's just, like, what would the world be like if we made that first choice? So, so that next scene, Gwyneth could still be, like, in her goop office.
Oh, you know? This is real life Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
Goop. And maybe, like, in the different world, she never, what's the word?
She never gooped?
She never gooped. She never, what's the?
Consciously uncoupled.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
What I was searching for.
Right? But then we follow, you know, Chris, right? Her hubby. Chris
Martin.
What?
Chris Martin?
I wanted to say Kirkpatrick. Who is that?
Is that like NSYNC guy, Kirkpatrick?
Whoa.
I don't know.
Wow, that's deep in my conscience or subconscious. Yeah, and then we like see what you know Chris Martin's day is like, and then you know Coldplay, whatever.
Okay, yeah. These are all very specific to Gwyneth Paltrow and her marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a super cool form.
Yeah, I would like to get to do it.
Yeah, and hopefully
Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin, if you're listening. Putting you on blast. And hopefully one of the women in that is deeply unhinged.
Yeah. Well, if we start with Gwyneth, that's, like,
that's
we're
already
done.
There, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's super cool. If there's any other kind of, like, class you would want to teach at the theater besides that?
You know what? Now I think about it, I'm like, maybe I should pitch that as a 301, like a sketch 301.
Oh, cool.
The theme is like women unhinged.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll pitch that to
you. Yeah. Are there any comedy heroes you've had either like when you were still in Richmond, Virginia, doing comedy sports up until like now that you like aspire to or like look up to or who influence you a lot?
Oh yeah, 100%. So when Death by Ruru, of course, right? Like was, because when I saw them, I thought they were the kings, which I still, you know, they're definitely the kings. And then when I came here, Lennon Parham
Oh, yeah.
Loved seeing her perform. I thought she was incredible. And Gavin Spieler was, I mean, still is incredible. And as far as, like, TV and film, I've loved Maria Bamford for a really long time.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
She, like, I feel like fits into that world of, like, woman unhinged. Woman,
Yeah, the first time I saw her, I, like, did not know what to make of
it. Oh, God, I loved her so much. I still do. And Amy Sedaris, I actually am a huge fan of hers. I, like, follow her Instagram. I check it all the time. All she does is reposts very strange photos, usually, like, of animals in diapers or something.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm reading her, like, How to Entertain book right now. Uh-huh. It's, like, my treat when I go to bed. I, like, read a little paragraph.
Yeah. Do you find now that your, like, workload is a little bit easier or more freeing that you, like, get to predominantly, like, you're on a weekend team now also, right?
Yeah. I feel really lucky that I spend most of my day getting to do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. But it certainly is still, like, very much, like, it's still, you know, like a 12-hour day.
Completely. You're still hustling.
Yeah. But instead you're now, it just feels so much easier because you're hustling, doing the thing you really like.
Yeah. Wow. That's the dream.
Mm-hmm. Feels really nice.
Cool. Is there anything else you want to leave with our listeners before we...
Yeah, guys, let's get a new table in here. You know, let's all pool our funds.
Honestly, this table and all
the
tables,
it's a fine table, but I keep hitting it with my, knocking it with my knees. Also, let's make sure Alex and I both get this part.
Yeah, we'd love to both...
book us together, please.
Book us together. We'll trade off. Every time you cut, it'll be a different one. Well, cool, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for talking with me. And that was a long-form conversation. Tune in next episode where Natasha will be your host.
It's true.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting-edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at ucbtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy. This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.